This is The Worth Report. Each week, we'll bring you financial news that you can immediately use to plan for your financial future. If you have questions for the show, call us anytime at 980-288-4022. Now, here are your hosts of The Worth Report, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
Good Saturday, and welcome to The Worth Report. I'm your host, Nick Wharton, here with Glenn Wright, good friend and president of Worth Financial. Each week, our brand promises to bring you news that you can immediately use and provide commentary on local, state, and national affairs that will help you to manage your financial world. How you doing this morning, Glenn, my friend?
Man, I'm doing pretty well. I'll tell you, I'm not getting much sleep these days. It's been crazy with all these potential tax changes.
Yes.
You know, we work primarily with business owners, and that's everyone's right. Freaking out or getting excited and can't wait to something to happen one way or the other. To see what's going to happen with the Senate making their changes.
Oh, boy.
It's you hear so many stories, you don't know what's actually true.
That's right.
You know, I'm thinking about, you know, when they get ready to release a new car in 2 years and you see all these mock-ups.
Yes.
You know, but
then
the real car is totally different than the mock-up.
Oh.
So the excitement goes away.
That's
it's
right.
Going to be curious to see what's going to happen with this.
That's right. Speaking of a new car, I suspect there are a lot of people who have a bit of buyer's remorse with respect to some of these folk they've elected into offices, too.
Oh.
And so there is also that. But how was your Thanksgiving, man?
It was good. Well, it was great. It was great. Ate too much, and, you know, this like normal.
Right.
You know, it was great.
So my challenge was staying away from heated public political conversations, because that was just intense. The kinds of conversations that were going on about what's happening today, you know, our public sphere, you know, we got this election coming up in Alabama. It's looking kind of ugly.
Yeah.
You know, so it looks like we've got about, if you add them all up, we've got about 20 women who have had some concerns with both the president and Roy Moore. So I'm not sure how this story is going to end, but we'll know December 12th, I suppose, at this election.
Yeah, at least for one of the candidates, you're right.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So today we have a wonderful, wonderful guest today. We have an individual who's the 2017 Woman Business Owner Award winner by the National Association of Women Business Owners, Phoebe Preslar, president and CEO of and founder of Spark Publications, a 19-year-old Charlotte-based graphic design and custom publishing firm. Phoebe, how are you doing today? Thank you for being with us.
It is great to be here. I'm actually doing really well. Thank you.
Wonderful. So tell us about your firm. It is obviously a very, very successful organization. So tell us what you're most proud about.
I'm most proud about helping other entrepreneurs, business owners, and corporate departments to be able to share their story. And we do that in a way that's able to share a topic that fuels their business as well as their audience. And we do that through custom books, magazines, and catalogs.
Mm-hmm. And your most noted publications are?
In the Charlotte area, we have Ballantine Magazine and Pride Magazine and UNC Charlotte, and then the remaining are national and international magazines.
Outstanding, outstanding. So Dee Dixon is a very close friend.
Yes, she is.
Of ours. In fact, it will also interest you to know that we are on the board of the Women's Intercultural Exchange, an organization that Dee and Stephanie Counts and others helped found.
Well, I was actually one of the original members.
You
as well.
Were. I know. I heard that. That's right.
And our firm designed the beautiful WIE logo and helped it win a national award.
That's right. Sure did.
I feel like flipping in this chair here. Why didn't I know that?
That's okay.
Producers get me right here. I'm embarrassed actually right now.
No embarrassment. It's,
right.
You know, we're behind the scenes people helping everybody else shine. So every now and then we get to brag about that a little bit.
It shows who she is. You know, truly helping everyone else, being behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
Selfless.
Absolutely.
That's
well, incredible. That's right. It's a beautiful thing. And so, you know, the bottom line, and when I think about WIE and why, you know, Glenn and I can't speak for Glenn, I'll speak for myself, you know, helping to sort of broaden awareness around gender equity is mission critical, right?
Absolutely.
And so what's also fascinating about it, I help co-chair the Champions, right?
Yes, very valuable
so,
group.
So valuable, right?
Yes.
And how important it is today when you think about all of what's going on and this Champions group, its mission literally is to help leverage gender equity and also help men to redefine who they are, right?
Absolutely.
In this changing, sweeping global demographic shift, right? And so you look at what's happening today, you know, and it just takes your breath away,
mm-hmm.
you know. So what's your reaction to, you know, some of the I think this whole notion that women are finding their voice is absurd. They've always had their voice.
They've always had a voice. Right.
We just haven't been listening, right, for all kinds of reasons. But what's your reaction to the sweeping change we're seeing in media, in your industry as well, with Charlie Rose? I mean, I think Charlie Rose is a great guy.
There's changes everywhere mm-hmm. right now. Everything is shifting. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone has been very, you know, self-centered in their own little bubbles. And now those bubbles are bursting.
Yes, they are.
And we get to start peeking into other people's bubbles, other community bubbles, mm-hmm. and then everybody's acting so surprised
yes.
that everything's not the way that their life is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, I've had the privilege of living a very diverse life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just sit back and watch.
Yeah.
And I'm not an activist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a heart that reaches out. I do
right.
what I can. I don't have a political voice.
Mm-hmm.
I see good in both sides.
Sure. Yep.
And I've become very disappointed
yeah,
with, say, both sides mm-hmm. because everybody's acting like they're right.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could just come together and take the best of both sides and really
right.
start making something more unified,
mm-hmm. right.
I think it's going to end up getting there.
Yeah.
But it's going to continue to get
yeah.
messier and uglier yeah. in the process. And it's
yes, good point.
It's very sad.
It is.
But hopeful
mm-hmm.
at the same time
mm-hmm.
because, you know, you got to break down before the breakthrough. And I think that's what
yes.
we're doing right. as
that's
a society.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. So one of the things that, you know, Glenn and I do, we talk about a whole various issues. And we recognize that, you know, there's this Democratic, Republican, this sort of, you know, cantankerous dynamic
yeah.
that goes on, right? But then there are human issues.
Right? They're all human
poverty,
issues.
Poverty, you know,
yes.
Human rights,
yes.
you know, the way individuals ought to be treated in the workplace. These are not Republican and Democratic issues.
Mm-mm.
These are just issues of simple fairness, human decency, right?
Absolutely.
And so, you know, and so in that respect, it gets kind of interesting that today we're having these kinds of robust, courageous conversations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to keep having them, right? But one of the things I was going to say is that when I think about what's going on with the sexual harassment and all this happening, we were talking about this last evening, Glenn and I. At the end of the day, we have, and you can appreciate this in the field that you're in, we have so few women who are leading companies. We have so few women who are on boards of directors, right, who can make changes and change the culture and climate of these organizations. When that happens, everything changes.
Right.
Just simply changes.
There's a different kind of conversation.
Completely different
yeah.
conversation, right? So
right.
some of these tendencies that maybe men have to say and do certain things, when women are in charge, you have to think twice about it. And that's the key, thinking twice about what we say.
Yeah,
right?
It's not impulsive speaking.
Exactly, exactly. And so that, to me, is a huge answer to this. We
mm-hmm.
need to not just, you know, the litigation that's going to take care of itself, but the real deal is having more women in leadership positions. Right, who are
if they're qualified.
And of course, I don't even presume they aren't.
Right.
I presume that if they got there, they probably are because the heck they go through to get there.
No doubt.
I presume they are qualified.
It is a little bit of a double journey, yes.
Exactly. You don't think that's the point,
yeah.
isn't it? That's the point. That's the point.
I'm always fascinated on how people get into the industries that they've reached, and especially when you have such success like you. What motivates you to do what you do? Clearly, especially with your talent and all the different services that you offer, there are many different fields that you could have entered.
I don't know that. I didn't believe that. I was 15 years old before I ever had anyone tell me that I had any kind of potential and can do anything in life.
Wow. Mm.
And it was shortly after that time that this is when I was living on a small self-sufficient farm in Pelion, South Carolina, and families wow. driving into Columbia, and I see a billboard. And there's a billboard with an image and a message on it. And for some reason, that's what kind of sparked me into knowing that I wanted to take something and communicate artistically to the masses.
Mm.
And I've told that story before, but it's still there. It still holds true.
Mm.
And there were very few opportunities in there. I mean, we had one blinking light in the town, okay?
Wow. Okay
and,
wow.
you know, my senior class had 98 people in it.
Wow.
But I didn't make it to my senior class in Pelion because we had the opportunity to have my dad open up a restaurant, and he was a great chef, but
wow.
he's not a businessman and had no business skills. stepping back really quick, I got into graphic design. I had a dear friend who was going to the local trade school in Lexington County, North Carolina, and that was my first entry into graphic design, and literally have been there since I was 16. But with my dad's restaurant, that was my introduction to entrepreneurship.
How old were you at this time?
16.
16? Okay.
16, yeah. Okay. So entrepreneurship, now I know what it's like. You open up a restaurant, you sink your whole family, your whole livelihood into it, and it failed. It closed. My dad and my family lost the restaurant, which unfortunately means that we lost the farm, the house that we lived in. So the summer before my senior year of high school, we moved into someone else's home who opened up their doors to my family in North Carolina. Yeah. So you take those lessons, you take what you learn there, you take that life is not easy and you can't take it for granted. Mm-hmm. So the successes I have today are because of so many things, but reaching out to other people, reaching deep within myself, learning to be the best person that I can be and know as many things about what I'm doing and the business that I have and the clients that I have, as well as reaching out for help.
So it sounds to me that some very important lessons were learned at a very early age that perhaps propelled you to success. So what might that be when you think about just what you told us?
I don't know that I learned it really well the first time. You know, when I moved, I ended up graduating from high school in Davie County. And at 17, I decided it was time to break away from my family. So I moved to Charlotte by myself. I didn't know anyone here. I didn't have a car. I didn't have a place to live. Again, knew no one.
Wow.
And enrolled into Central Piedmont, got a Pell Grant work study job. So learning to work, you know, and actually that nothing's going to be given to me unless I work for it, unless I build it. And that's been a core lesson, you know, through my business. But I learned everything the hard way. And now you flash back, you know, almost 40 years. You know, I'm really wanting to learn to do things more within grace and ease, that everything doesn't have to be so hard. But you know what?
Right.
You got to start that way.
Yeah.
You have to start that way.
Wow. Any regrets that you look back in that journey? It's a fascinating journey. You've won like over 150 awards. I mean, you've done so much. It's been just amazing.
No regrets. If I had to do anything over again, I would learn to do things smarter. I did everything too hard. And getting a really good business education, or at least the core in finances, I mean, would have helped me tremendously. So, you know, being that lone ranger and knowing that you can do it yourself is okay when you're in survival times. But at some point, fairly soon in that journey, you need to drop that and ask for help and really start working and collaborating more with people that have those skills. And it's not a regret, but if I had to do it over again, or if I had to tell myself, my 17 or 18 year old self, what, you know, could be done differently, that would definitely be one of those things. And to know that there is a lot of support out there.
Right.
You got to believe it's there. And even if you can't see it, you have to believe that support is there. Even if, you know, just believing outside of yourself.
Right, right.
I was just about to say that. You know, you have to have faith.
You have to have faith. Yes.
So let's go back to that point, because I think that's a very critical point. And I can think about a point for me and my business as well when this happened. At some point, you were a one-woman band.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
And at what point did you decide to say, I'm going to trust someone else to hire them to come work for me, and I'm going to give up part of what I bring in in order to do that and walk in faith to be able to say, I'm going to be able to pay them? Can you walk me through that?
Well, I've been through many swirls and the whole roller coaster ride on that has been one of the most complex part of my business ownership journey is in having a team and, you know, staff. The business I'm in now, we're in our 19th year, getting ready to be 20 in July.
Yeah.
I had it home-based for 6 years because my mission there was to be home with my daughter and my husband, and you know, because everybody on this planet was spending more time with them than I was. Mm. So that was part of a core personal thing, was to be home with them and build a business. Actually, at that point, I was really more concerned about building a paycheck. Okay. And so then I went from building a paycheck to having a great number of really awesome clients and needing help. And it was my daughter that finally said, "Mom, I got this." She was a senior in high school. Mm-hmm. And she's like, "I've got this. Go do what you got to do." So that gave me permission to, you know, move into a brick and mortar space and hire my first employee. And then came the second and the third. And then it was like everything was wrong. Everything was wrong. And I let go of everybody and did like a hard reboot.
So when you say wrong, you meant you hired the wrong people?
Hired the wrong people. I was hiring on potential. Mm. And I was hiring on what I thought I could afford.
Thought I could afford.
Mm. You know, so let's, you know, so that I don't sound like this horribly sad person, let's just say I went through 3 or 4 rounds of that before I started really learning my lesson.
Okay.
And then I had what I thought was a good team because I was actually trying to hire one person at a time, one employee that could help save the world at a time. You know, I was just trying to do this benevolent thing. You had somebody, you give them a chance. And then all of a sudden, I was so exhausted. Mm-hmm. And I felt like everything was drama.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I realized is, I mean, I felt like I was running an emotional daycare.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was doing is I had a company to fuel employees. And I had a dear friend ask me, "Well, how's that working for you?" And I was like, "It's not." And he goes, "Well, if you owned your own company, how would you do it?" You know, It's like, duh. And so then I started realizing what I really needed to do. And I needed to really focus my company on serving our clients. So any new employees that would come in would serve the company's mission, would serve the clients, and the thing that I never thought of before is they would serve me. And that changed the dynamics of the entire company.
Mm.
It changed the dynamics of the type of people we hired in the sense that they needed to be a pro. So I wasn't giving them opportunities. They were coming in to help better the company and to truly better serve our clients.
Bringing value to you immediately.
Immediately.
Okay.
Immediately. So could I afford them at first? No. But did it take 9 months, a year to get them trained like the others? No. They come in and within, you know, a couple weeks, they're working. They're helping make money. They're serving the clients. You know, within a couple months, they're just permanent part of the team.
Yeah.
And
funny how that works, how it takes care of itself.
Well,
but again, it's a faith walk, isn't it?
It's a faith walk, but it's also being really clear on what your business is there for.
Yep.
You know, and now I feel like I'm serving those employees better than when I was trying to serve them in a sense of trying to help them become the best it can be. Well, you know, that wasn't my role in life. I thought it was, but ultimately that's still happening, but in a different way and in actually a much more respectful way. So the business isn't a charity. It's not run that way. It's run by awesome professionals serving phenomenal, just absolutely phenomenal clients.
Mm.
And you know what?
Wow.
It all started with me. It all starts with how I perceive it how I'm willing to risk and make things happen. So I had to realize that I was making big mistakes.
Wow. Wow. That's excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty transparent. It's amazingly introspective. And you have to sort of interrogate your own reality.
Absolutely.
Did you have help doing that? I mean, you had coaches, mentors?
I call them guides. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of good people out there that are trying to help other people do things, but sometimes their own perspective may not be right for you.
That's right.
The lovely woman that took my family in became a life mentor of mine. And not that I knew that at the time, because I was a really, you know, kind of angry teen at that point, because my whole life just got, you know, kind of rattled. But She and I reconnected later in life and just started communicating. She helped me through a difficult time in my life. And then when I started my business, the home-based business, now I started this cold turkey. I didn't have a client, not a single client. And the phone's not ringing, right? So we're going to, you know, we're 4-6 weeks into it. The phone is not ringing, but then it rings and it's my mentor. And she had become sick and disabled and needed some help. And I was living in Charlotte and she is living in Winston-Salem. So it was a 2-hour drive. It was outside of Winston-Salem. So it's a 2-hour drive. So I just started my new business, home-based. And now on Monday nights, I'm driving over there and helping her in any way that she needs to. She's actually helping me more in the process without I didn't even realize it. But then I committed to her that whatever she needed, I would be there. And I would be there every Monday, and every now and then it would be on a weekend as well. That ended up being a 10-year journey. And through that, I learned such a level of compassion, service, friendship, and just learning how to do things for somebody else in a whole different way than how I would choose to do it. So that fueled me as a person.
Okay.
And so after she passed away, I began looking for other guides and mentors that could help me. That was a hard journey because she had some big, you know, there were some big shoes to fill.
Sounds like it.
But I have met some very fascinating people and, you know, you search for them and you go and you hear different people speak. And I ended up going to one of Lou Solomon at Interact. She had this great speaking thing where, you know, a couple of people would have share their stories. And I sat there and listened to Carlos Salum, who works. You know Carlos. So I listened to him. So he became one of my guides. Yes. And I've had others since then. But yes, I always have somebody that can just know me from a purely authentic point of view. And everybody knows you can't tell a business owner or a control freak what to do. So you don't find somebody that tells you what to do. You find someone that asks phenomenal questions, those that just, you know, dig into your soul to where you have it takes days and sometimes weeks to answer those questions. So, yes, I've always had that help. And now I reach out to mentors and, you know, I just had a really challenging time in my business this past year. And I picked up the phone and I called Rebecca Barnes-Hogg, who's just phenomenal in working with employees. And I asked her, I said, you know, what's your fee for an hour-long therapy session on employees? And she goes, well, I don't typically do that. I said, but that's what I need. And so she gave me a price and it wasn't going to be, you know, out of the question, whatever it was. And just telling somebody that's listening to you intently from their professional perspective to be able to reflect things back to you. She gave me information that helped me just break open a huge cultural problem that I had in my firm.
That's good stuff.
Well, you're obviously coachable. I think that's the other key. Right?
Well,
to be open and you know.
It's so important because as a business owner, you're on your own island. And you can easily just shut the island down and say, I got it. I can do it. And you see so many businesses fail because they aren't coachable. They aren't open. And then we do things just as people all the time. We have, we all have flaws, quote unquote. And, you know, who's going to be your mirror to help show those to you? And you can have a spouse, but if your spouse isn't in your business, and sometimes even if your spouse is in your business, it still kind of comes together. So you really can't have that outside person. When you have an expert who does something similar or has been successful, I think it's always great to have someone.
Or at least ask the questions.
To run things by.
You can get three or four different perspectives. It's going to be your responsibility, your accountability on what you move forward with. So, you know, I always go into it knowing that I'm more than likely wrong. And I just don't have the information. Or else I would be doing it differently.
So when you look at your career and where you are, and there's so many, you know, interesting jewels you've shared about your career and your journey. So are there some financial messages that you've learned in terms of managing your business?
Oh, my gosh.
What might those some of those be?
We could do probably 2 hours on this.
Give me one good one.
I'll give you the first one that changed everything. So okay. I'm 2 years into my business, you know, okay. So you make a different slow level of money coming in doing that. And all of a sudden, I'm making money. And I have a CPA, so I've checked that box.
Okay.
But I don't have a relationship with the CPA, and all of a sudden it's tax time in year two, and all of a sudden I owe $25,000 in taxes. And I'm like, how am I? It took me 3 days to tell my husband, because we had to get a second mortgage on the house to pay that.
Because 3 days to tell your husband.
3 days. It took 3 days because I thought for sure, you know, he was supporting me and saying, sure. You do this business. And all of a sudden, I just wrecked everything again.
Wow.
And so from there, I ended up getting a mentor through the Charlotte Chamber who was a CPA. And, you know, long story short on that, he is still today my CPA. So we started as a mentorship, and now he's our outsourced CFO, and that's been going on for 17 years.
Wow. Fantastic.
But having that relationship and having someone that can show you how important your numbers are.
Absolutely.
Is critical. And you know what? The biggest thing I learned with that first CPA is that he was doing his job. He didn't have a clue what was going on in my business because I didn't ask any questions or give him any updated financials. And so there you go. You have to have a relationship. Today, yeah. I've got a payroll firm. I've got an accountant that comes in to check all my books. And I have my CFO to review everything as well. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm gonna tell you, I am excited our listeners today are probably excited as well, because you're our featured speaker for Women Worth More.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. It's gonna be the awesome roller coaster ride of business ownership.
Absolutely. I mean, Women Worth More is so important because of for what you just talked about, Nick. There are so many women who don't have the resources. You know, how can I get access?
Right.
So if I want to be a CEO one day, if I want to own my own company, you know, who are those guides that I can lean on and go to or hear from? Then that's what Women Worth More is all about.
Oh, awesome.
So because we know from a financial perspective, financially, women are worth less. That's all we read about. Women make less here. The net worth is less over here and all this. That's all we hear. But we know the opposite. So I am so excited that you're going to be a part of this, and just the awesome roller coaster ride of business ownership.
Yes.
And you just giving
hang
us
on.
Yeah, I know it. This is going to be great.
Mm-hmm. So this has been a great conversation. So one sort of closing question I have for you. Tell us about your daughter Sophie.
My daughter Sophie, she was that special one that when I was working home base built a little Lego building for me. And do you know that that's the building that we have today that we own? So,
wow.
You know, she's been a fan and a supporter and a star all along. And today she is a production assistant in my firm and managing our marketing clients and doing a fantastic job. So my daughter is there and my husband and I work full time also. He's been there with us going on 10 years.
Outstanding. Wow. Well, this has been wonderful, Fabi. Thank you so much for joining us.
I have loved it. I just wish we had a lot more time because we could probably keep doing this for a while.
I know.
Will you come back again?
I would love to. I would love to. I am actually in the process of writing a book on, you know, it's going to be the fabulous F words of business ownership. And it's, you know, the fear, failure, faith is my journey broken down into simple chapters so that you can just...
Wow.
You know, glean that. So it'll be out next spring.
Well, thank you for telling us what some of the S were.
Yeah. Yes.
That was important.
Well, because everybody's assuming the other thing. And, well, you know, that one's too easy. So we go with the hard ones.
Well, thank you for being here. Thank you so much. You've been listening to The Worth Report. Glenn, I'll see you, buddy.
Just remember, December 6th at 5 p.m., Chuck Kelly, Women Worth More. You definitely want to be there. This is going to be great. See you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
This has been The Worth Report with your host, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright. To learn more about Worth Financial and to speak to one of their advisors, call 704-731-0121. That's 704-731-0121. Or log on to worthadvisors.com. That's worthadvisors.com.